business bad, capitalism evil. And they can't get a job, they become a barrister. I'm not laughing at barristers. I go to coffee shops. It's a sad thing. You got people with degrees in musicology, barrister. Degrees in poli-sci from Harvard, barrister. A master's yet in poli-sci, barrister. And it's not a product of the society. It's a product of the fact that there's nothing you can do with degrees like that. They're useless. Useless.
Michael Savage.
It's not that the children are not that smart. They've been misled by people who run the colleges.
Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
That's all.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, welcome to the show. Happy New Year, everyone. Guest host for Michael Savage tonight and all week I've been on, Wayne Allen Root, War. Thank you to Dr. Michael Savage for having me here and to all the people at Cumulus that make this happen. I also want to make sure all of you know there's a call-in number because I love to speak to listeners, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282. War, I'm the capitalist evangelist, the anti-Obama, the man the beginning of the show was invented for, listener discretion. Listener discretion invented just for me, to you. Former vice presidential nominee, now back to the GOP, Fox News regular, son of a butcher, SOB, Barack Obama's college classmate at Columbia University. I can attest to what this man's about, and we'll talk to that, talk about that and do that on today's show. We'll address that very issue about Obama at Columbia University. I believe that holds the key, Columbia, to everything happening in America today. It all started at Columbia. It all began at our college. Everything Obama's doing to America, the key is there. I'll talk about that today. I'm the best-selling author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. My website, rootforamerica.com. But most importantly, and this is why I want you to call in, I'm an economics guy. I understand business. I've been a businessman from the day I graduated Columbia. 31 years of running businesses, starting businesses, making payrolls, unlike Obama, paying other people's health insurance. Not talking about it, paying it, writing the damn check. I'm a serial entrepreneur and a champion of capitalism. We've got some eclectic guests tonight. Craig Smith will be on. He's an author, he's a CEO and founder and chairman of one of the world's biggest precious metals companies, but he's also one of the world's great authorities on economics and debt and how it all ties in with precious metals. And we'll talk to Craig tonight. Wayne Gorsuch will be on. I call him a hero of capitalism, a guy who founded a company that did hundreds of millions of dollars a year in vitamin sales, the number one online vitamin company in the world, takes it public, retires, could have spent the rest of his life riding into the sunset, enjoying life sitting on a beach, and instead takes tens of millions of his own dollars, comes out of retirement, starts a new online vitamin company. And I want to talk to him about being a hero of capitalism, why he did it, what's going on in the economy, what's holding entrepreneurs back. But most importantly, I'm a vitamin guy. I'm a vitamin fitness enthusiast. I work out 2 hours a day and walk every day and pop 100 vitamin pills a day. It gives me my energy, my enthusiasm, my focus in life. I am who I am because of vitamins. And so I want to ask him what vitamins we could take to stave off Obamacare. In other words, if Obamacare is truly a disaster and the medical system is going to be destroyed, the healthcare system wrecked, then you want to avoid it. And the way to avoid it is to be healthy. So we'll talk to Wayne about how to stay healthy. And also Big Pharma's attack on vitamins. Massive full frontal attack in the last 2 weeks against vitamins with bogus studies. We'll talk to Wayne Gorsuch about that. Mr. Vitamin himself. And then we're going to have on Mark Skousen, who's an old favorite of mine. He's the guy who created and produces Freedom Fest, the greatest festival in the world, each year in Las Vegas, where I live, just happens to be in Vegas, but it's a worldwide festival, meaning people come in from all over the world, about 3,000 people or so every year come in to attend it, and all the great economic minds speak at this event. And Mark is the guy who invented it, Freedom Fest. He's the editor of a very well-known financial newsletter. We'll talk about the economy. Just got appointed presidential fellow at Chapman University in California. But here's the thing he's most proud of. Like me, he's not a big fan of GDP, gross domestic product. That's the only way the government has to measure what's happening in the economy. They call it GDP. Well, Mark, I'm proud to say, my buddy Mark invented a new measurement of the economy. Totally new measurement. And he literally invented it. He created it out of thin air. Proved to the government it's better than GDP. And believe it or not, even with this Marxist government, they accepted it the other day. From now on, you're going to hear reported GDP and his measurement. I can't even remember what it's called. He's going to tell us about it. Maybe it's CP. But whatever it is, he invented a new way to measure the economy, and he'll tell us what it is and why it works. And so before we get to our guests, I'll do my usual root rants tonight. I've always got something to say about what's going on in the world, and I've got lots to say tonight. But before I even get to that rant, I was looking through the news, saw a few things of interest. Some things that prove that people on the left are dysfunctional, ignorant, mentally ill. There's no question that being a liberal, or I don't even like that word, I think the real word is socialist, communist, Marxist, but put it their way, put it gently, a liberal or progressive, a leftist, is a mental illness. In the news today, global warming scientists are trapped on their ship because there's too much ice. They're trying to prove global warming, and they're stuck in Antarctica in the ice. There's too much ice. There's more ice than there's ever been. It's not melting. It's growing. Global warming, trapped in ice. I love it. Morons. Muslim radicals killed over 30 people in Russia in a terrorist attack right near the Olympics. The Olympics start in 6 weeks. Killed, I believe, was 31 or 32. And the left worries about Duck Dynasty. Can you imagine the mental illness of the left? They care whether a Christian like Phil Robertson, the star of Duck Dynasty, a reality show, a controversial reality show on A&E Network, liberals care whether he likes gays or not. So he dislikes gays. So Christians might dislike gays. They may disapprove of the gay lifestyle. Who cares? I happen to be pro-gay rights, by the way. Always have been a real right-wing conservative who is pro-gay rights. But I couldn't care less if a Christian has an opinion and can't stand gays and thinks it's perverted and thinks it's weird. Okay, that's an opinion. But liberals, the left, communists, socialists, they're constantly ranting about Christians and their dislike of gays or thinking the gay lifestyle is perverted. Instead of worrying about radical Muslims who want to kill us, behead us, torture us, murder women and children. And how about this one? In every Muslim country in the world, if they find out you're gay, they drop you off the roof of a building. They bring you to the 8th floor. And they say, have a nice trip. And they push you off the building. Or they stone you to death. They bury you in the sand. The only thing you can see is your head. And they stone you with bricks. Yet the left is worried about Phil Robertson saying that he personally thinks it's weird that guys are gay. You think maybe they worry about the wrong things? 31 people dead in a terrorist attack right near the Olympics. And they're worried whether Christians approve or disapprove of their gay lifestyle. Wow. Some other things in the news here in my hometown of Las Vegas that you might find interesting. Because remember those ads, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Not true. That's just advertising. What happens in Vegas is emblematic of what's happening all over the country or what will happen all over the country. We are trendsetters. Whatever happens in Vegas will happen near you. So here's the first thing in the news in Vegas. Only 13,000 enrollees in Obamacare State Exchange in Nevada. We have a population of over 3 million in our state. 13,000 have signed up for Obamacare. Shows you the size of the disaster, or maybe lack of size. What do they say about an inch here and an inch there? Obamacare is about an inch long. Embarrassing. 13,000 out of 3 million. Nobody's joining Obamacare. Hey, folks, read my lips. No one wants Obamacare. Number two. A fireman in Vegas proven to be a crook He arranged it so he took nothing but nonstop vacations on sick leave. There was a giant scam in Vegas where all the firemen together, I mean like everyone, was proven to be taking sick leave, literally criminal actions. They were all conspiring with each other to give each other weeks of sick leave and arrange it so they could get weeks and weeks of sick leave and still get paid. One guy got fired and took the fall for all of it, even though all the firemen in Vegas in Clark County conspired together. They fired one guy. I almost felt bad for him. They should have fired everyone. They all put it on one guy. And that one guy, the judge gave him his job back. So no one got punished. And it turns out for the last 2 years, he claims to have a bad back. So that fireman hasn't even been fighting fires. He's been doing administrative duty. His salary the last 2 years, $201,204,000. Folks, did you know firemen made over $200,000 a year? That's your tax money. And he sued the county for firing him. That damaged his reputation. And he settled, I think it was 2 days ago, 48 hours ago, he settled for $60,000 plus immediate retirement. You know what that means? He's only been working 20 years on the job. He's probably 45 years old. He's probably going to get about $200,000 a year in retirement for the rest of his life. I kid you not. The average Vegas fireman, by the way, makes over $190,000 a year. The average Vegas fireman. Not the fire chief, not the fire captain. The average guy carrying the hose makes almost $200,000. We had a fireman about a year ago convicted of molesting a child. Sentenced to 10 years in prison. Do you know in the whole 10 years in prison he'll be collecting $200,000 a year? So he'll have $2 million in the bank when he gets out of prison for child molestation. Do the math. You retire at age 45. I'm going to never retire. I'm going to work till the day I die. But government employees retire at the age of 45. If they live to 90 and they get $100,000 a year, that's $4.5 million in retirement for not working. If they get $200,000 a year, that's $9 million golden parachute for not working. And you wonder why America's bankrupt. There it is. Bingo. Government employees and their pensions. Wow. And lastly, guns. The reason Obama will never be able to take guns away and disarm us. Vegas, the tourist capital of America, 40 million tourists. Do you know what the biggest entertainment craze is in Vegas? Shooting big guns. They opened up a business here where you could shoot machine guns. And then another guy opened up a business where you could shoot machine guns. And then a third guy opened up where you could shoot Navy SEAL weapons, the same weapons the Navy SEALs use when they attacked Osama bin Laden. You can recreate the attack on Osama bin Laden. Assault rifles, machine guns, even grenade launchers out in the desert. Well, now there's like 15 different businesses, and they're doing box office, land office business. Tourists from all over the world land. The first thing they want to do is not see the Vegas Strip. It's go shoot guns. Sorry, Obama, you lose. You're never taking our guns away. We love our guns. Only in Vegas, baby. What happens in Vegas spreads everywhere. I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. This is War. Guest host for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll be right back. Get on the phone. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. 7282. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back with Wayne Allyn-Root. War, the capitalist evangelist. Phone number 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 400-7282. The website, michaelsavage.com, where you get all his books, as well as all the topics you hear on this show. You'll find them at michaelsavage.com. My book is The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. My website, root4america.com, as in Wayne Root, R-O-O-T, 4america.com. All right, War is on the line with number six, Bob, from WABC in New York. New York City Fire Chief, don't...
How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. Are you a New York City Fire Chief yourself?
That's correct, yes.
And that you're saying fire chiefs don't make nearly that much money, correct?
No, not in New York City. I can't tell you what they make anywhere else in the country, but the chiefs don't make nearly that much.
But are you shocked? I wasn't even talking about a chief. I'm talking about in Vegas, the average fireman, not chiefs, not captain, the average fireman made $199,000 a year when the recession started, and they've made a few concessions and a few cuts. Now they're at like $191,000 a year, the average fireman.
Okay.
New York City doesn't make anything like that, huh?
Yeah, where can I get that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Come to Las Vegas. I guess you can get it here. But it's quite amazing. And the reason the average is $190,000 a year or so is because literally there are many fire captains and firemen on the job for 20 years in Vegas, because we see the list. The state releases the highest paid government employees. It's all public knowledge. There are firemen making $400,000 a year in Las Vegas. That's why the average is $200,000.
Wow.
What is your deal in New York City? Give me some numbers.
I guess it's nice work if you can get it. But anyway, I wanted to just say that, you know what? I don't think, there's probably not many firemen in Las Vegas, less than you would think. I think more of the problem with the government's going bankrupt, at least in New York. Now, we're not bankrupt, but, you know, we're not very fiscally sound, I don't think. And I think it's because of the welfare state.
Well, I have no argument with that. Believe me, listen, I wrote the book, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, and I took some shots at government employees. What I said is they get paid, I proved it with facts, basically 70 to 100% more than the average employee in the private sector with the same job. But I also said firemen and policemen should get combat pay. They deserve higher pay than any other government employee because you risk your lives. I'm a fan of firemen and policemen. There just happens to be a point, Bob, where in retirement and pension, you just can't pay someone that kind of money without the whole government going bankrupt. You do understand that it puts at risk your pension by asking for too much in a pension.
You can't choke the golden goose that lays the golden eggs.
Correct. I mean, you deserve good money because you're risking your lives. I'm with you. But, you know, listen, where I live in Vegas, a lot of New Yorkers retire, okay? A lot of government employees. So I live right near Anthem Sun City, which is a retirement community, 55 and older, in Las Vegas. And it's a gigantic retirement community. I would guess about 15 or 20,000 people live in it. And I would say a large percentage, like 25%, are retired government employees from the East Coast. And I met someone the other day who told me about a guy who just showed up, literally just retired in the last few months, and was talking to them all at their, you know, little dinner where they probably play canasta and play bocce and all that. He was a toll taker on the Throgs Neck Bridge, made $60,000 a year in his career, but because of overtime in his last 3 years that his retirement was based on, he made $150,000 a year his last 3 years and then retired on 70% of that. He's making a six-figure retirement for the rest of his life. And folks, we just can't afford it. It's impossible. It's unsustainable. I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. This is War In for Dr. Michael Savage this week. Happy New Year, everyone. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
All right, this is War. Wayne Allyn-Root, guest host for Dr. Michael Savage. Phone lines open, 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282. Michael's website is michaelsavage.com. By the way, beachfront property, that's where Michael's headed. January 2nd, a couple days from now, this show moves to prime time, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. East Coast time, noon to 3, West Coast time, afternoon drive time. It's like Malibu or Santa Barbara, beachfront property, Cumulus Media, Dr. Michael Savage, congratulations. A couple of sports observations before I get into my Obama piece. Texas losing right now 23-7 to Oregon. What an embarrassment. What a state of riches. Texas, probably the richest university in America, and they can't field a decent football team? Oregon? Oregon? Come on, guys. Oregon's become this powerhouse, and you think of the state of Oregon, it just rains all day. Everyone's a hippie. They all wear Birkenstocks. They're not supposed to be great at football. Texas is where you eat red meat. The women are blonde. They've got great boobs. You love Texas. Texas is for football players. And Oregon's beating up on Texas 23-7. Texas can't even carry a 14-point point spread. What's going on here? Second observation, NFL observation. You guys in the Bay Area are lucky. I don't care if you're a 49ers fan or not. I don't even like the 49ers. But Jim Harbaugh is the best coach in football, period. They don't come any better. They don't come any more intense. They don't come with more energy and enthusiasm. It's like that commentary I gave you on this show on Savage Nation just a couple days ago. Braveheart. What the Tea Party movement needs is a guy with the intensity and the energy and the enthusiasm of a Sir William Wallace, leading the Scottish people to victory over the big, bad, unbeatable British Empire. And they did it, because this guy was crazy, man. Crazy with energy. Well, that's Jim Harbaugh and intensity. That's why that team, year after year, is a Super Bowl contender, when they were bums before he got there. And ever since then, from the moment he got there, Super Bowl contenders every single year. Wow. As I give you my rant, Oregon just intercepted Texas, and they went into the end zone for a touchdown. It's now 30-7. Wow, the state of Texas should be shuddering with embarrassment. Okay, get rid of sports now. Time to go to what matters, saving our country. So I promised all of you, it's my fourth day of guest hosting Savage Nation, and I promised you I'd talk about my classmate Obama and how all of this has to do with Columbia University. So let's do it. What Obama and I learned at Columbia, how to destroy America. That's what I'm going to talk to you about. Remember when Geraldo opened Al Capone's vault live on national TV? I'm about to solve the mystery of Obama. I'm about to break the Obama code. I'm about to tell you everything about the way Obama and the people around him think. I'm about to rip open the true Obama plan to destroy our country, because I was there when it was hatched. How do I know this? Because I was Obama's college classmate, Columbia, class of 83. I was easy to recognize, the lone outspoken conservative in a class of 700 students. I knew I was in trouble when my first political science class at Columbia was Communism 101, taught by Professor Trotsky in the Fidel Castro building at the corner of Marx and Lenin. I'm only half kidding. My experiences at Columbia were not far from that little joke I just told you. Not far at all. Everyone needs to hear my story, because what Obama and I learned at Columbia explains exactly what Obama's doing to America today. The economy's in deep decline. There are no more jobs. The annihilation of the middle class, I call it the murder of the middle class, the demonization of business owners, the destruction of small business with rules and regulations and taxes that only big business can afford, the overwhelming debt and spending of out-of-control government, the millions of Americans losing their health insurance, the unimaginable increase in dependency through welfare, food stamps, unemployment, disability, and now, of course, free health care. It's all easily explained when you hear what Obama and I learned at Columbia. America's decline under Obama isn't due to mistake or ignorance or incompetence. Stop calling him a dummy. It's a purposeful, brilliant plan hatched at Columbia to destroy capitalism, American exceptionalism, Judeo-Christian values, and the American dream. And as an assist, if they could get rid of Israel too, they would consider that the mother load. Now, first thing you need to know is I never met Obama at Columbia. After all this time saying I know him like the back of my hand and he was my classmate, let me disclose to you, I never met him. And you should be worried about that too. Very worried. We were both political science majors, both pre-law, graduated on the same day. There were maybe 100 to 150 of us in the political science department, and I knew everyone. I knew everyone who was in the political science department at Columbia. And as the token big-mouth conservative patriot, they all knew me. But not Obama. Never met him, never saw him, never even heard of anyone by that name. And not one of my friends at Columbia, and I say I knew everyone, ever met him either. And at our 30th class reunion last May, I couldn't find a single classmate who ever met him. You know, it was 30 years later, and I was only speaking to my friends, none of whom ever met anyone named Barack Obama or Barack Hussein Obama, or Barry Sotero, the name he had in Indonesia. None of us ever met someone by that name or heard of anyone by that name. But there are people I didn't meet, right? So I went to the 30th reunion and started asking people. And nobody ever met him. No one. And these are liberals. These are leftists who love the guy. I'm sure they all wrote checks to his campaign. But none of them can admit they ever met him because they never did. And so then I found a professor at Columbia, Professor Henry Graff, the most honored professor in the history of Columbia. 45 years heading the history department. 45 years as the presidential historian at Columbia. And you're on the record, so I figured he probably wouldn't tell me anything. He'd be scared. And he said, okay, no problem. I'll tell you exactly what I know. What I know is, never heard of him, never saw him, never met him. And it's impossible to graduate Columbia political science department without going to my history classes, which are almost all about presidential history. And every politician in history who ever graduated Columbia I keep track of all of them, he said to me. Henry Graff. Professor Henry Graff. I keep track of all of them. He said, as an example, I knew you ran for the presidential nomination of the Libertarian Party. I was very proud to hear you won the vice presidential nomination. But I've never met an Obama, and there's never been an Obama registered in any of my classes. And that's impossible. And I have doubts about the story that he ever went here. Folks, you got a Manchurian candidate in the presidency. This isn't me just guessing. Something's wrong. So let's start with that. But now let's assume, because this is what I think, I've always said he went there. He got in and he graduated, but in between, he was never in class. And my guess is, and I've said this out loud in public for 5 years, when people ask me, well, why wasn't he in class? Did he not go to Columbia? Is this one big fraud? I always go, no. My guess is he went there, but he was too busy attending Communist Party meetings to ever show up at class. And I joked about that till someone pointed out in his own autobiography, written way before he ever knew he'd run for president or become president, his own autobiography, I think it's called Dreams of My Father, you go to a certain page, and what does it say on that page? It says, while I was at Columbia, I didn't go to class much, and I spent my time going to the Cooper Union to Socialist Party meetings. This is Obama's own autobiography. It's his words. So my joke that he never went to class, he attended Communist Party meetings, is 100% true. Obama admits it. Socialist Party meetings at Cooper Union in Union Square, New York. And so he was there, so the point is he certainly spent some time with some Columbia students, maybe not my friends, maybe nobody I knew, maybe not Professor Graff, maybe nobody in political science, but the man was somewhere on the campus, I assume. So what did he learn? Well, it's important to know the mindset of everybody else at Columbia. My classmates hated America. They spoke with glee about one day taking the system down. They blamed America for unfairness, racism, inequality, and a lack of social justice. Recognize those words? They come out of Obama's mouth every day. They come out of the mouths of everyone in the Obama administration virtually every day. My classmates proudly call themselves socialists, communists, and Marxists. And even though all of them came from wealthy families, and almost all of them came from wealthy white families, or perhaps because of that fact, they hated the rich, they despised business owners, and they talked all day long about how much they hated the white power structure, and it had to be dismantled to create equality in America. Can you imagine the overwhelming guilt these people felt that their parents were rich, and they went to the best prep schools, and it was easy for them to get into Columbia? Such guilt that they hated everybody who was white with money, even though they were white and came from money. And they talked all day long about how you have to dismantle the business owners, bankrupt them, and take capitalism down. Everything in their mind was based on social justice. Sound like the policies of anyone you recognize in the White House? Does it sound anything like we have to spread the wealth around? Or if you own a business, you didn't build that? How about Obama's hatred of Republicans, the fact that he will never negotiate? He's a liar. He talks about being a uniter, not a divider, and a moderate guy. When push comes to shove, he has no interest in ever negotiating. He thinks he's morally superior to conservatives. That attitude was born at Columbia, too. In 1981, when a student burst through the doors to our political science class and screamed, "The president's been shot, they've assassinated Reagan," my classmates gave a standing ovation. So if you're 20 years old and you give a standing ovation for a guy who assassinated, you think, literally, they thought he killed Reagan and Reagan was dead. If you would give a standing ovation to that, today you're in government or the media, and you wonder why they're radical. You wonder why they're extreme. You wonder why they talk about compromise but never do. They actually think they're morally superior. They think if you are a Republican conservative, you deserve to die for the sins of your beliefs. Well, I don't know. They gave a standing ovation for the death of Reagan. But there's more. We were all taught a simple but brilliant plan. 24 hours a day, we discussed it outside of class. So if Obama was ever there, he discussed this plan. And it was called Cloward Piven, named after former Columbia professors Richard Cloward and Francis Piven, a husband-wife professor team who had left to go teach at NYU. And this plan was how you bring down America and the capitalist system. You do it by overwhelming the system with massive spending, massive entitlements, and massive debt. and that would cause the economy to collapse, wipe out the middle class, and bring Americans to their knees, begging government to save them. And it's the exact same plan Obama has implemented. It's happening right in front of you. And the centerpiece, by the way, is Obamacare. Obamacare is that plan. It's about bankrupting the middle class and addicting them all to government dependency. It's about redistributing wealth to the middle class and small business to Obama's voters. It's to wipe out the last vestiges of middle-class America, creating a two-class society, the super rich and the poor, both beholden and dependent on Obama and big government. And Obama learned well, because it's working to perfection. So that explains the plan, but how do you implement the plan? We were taught that at Columbia, too. A key component of the plan involves fooling voters by calling yourself moderate and uniter, even though you're a radical Marxist. We were taught to never admit what you truly believe in and demonize your opponents, call them evil and greedy and extreme and radical. And how about this one? Terrorist. Do you notice how many people around Obama call Republicans and conservatives and Tea Partiers terrorist? Look in the mirror and call your opponents the very things that you are. Obama sure learned well. But I got much more to tell you. We're only scratching the surface. When I come back, we'll finish up with what Obama and I learned at Columbia, how to destroy America from within. White House down, folks. White House down. The guy in the White House is systematically taking the country and the economy down. This is war. I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, and this really is war, by the way, an attack on the American people and capitalism. We'll be right back on Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back. Wayne Allyn-Root, this is War. Guest host for Dr. Michael Savage. Phone lines, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I want to finish up with my Obama background story at Columbia University, because that's where it all began, I'm telling you. So I'm telling you about the plan, and so far I've told you about the fact that nobody knew him there. Very strange. The ghost of Columbia, Barack Obama. Can you imagine if I told you somebody went to college with George W. Bush, same class, same major, both pre-law, class relatively small, 700 people, never met him, never saw him, never heard of him? First of all, if you went to college with a guy who became president of Walmart, everyone would be quick to take credit. I knew that guy. Let alone the president of the United States of America? Nobody will take credit for ever meeting him? Wow. You don't find that a little strange? And then I told you about Cloward Piven, the plan that we learned and the students talked about in their off time all the time. They sat there, you know, everyone's a political person, a political animal at Columbia. So, you know, while the rest of the world is drinking and partying, we were drinkers and partiers. We talk politics all day. Policy wonks and nerds talking politics all day. You know, you have to understand what Columbia's like. We lost 40 football games in a row while I went there. It's not like it's a sports mecca. It's about politics. They used to chant from the stands when we were losing 50-0. They chant from the stands, hey, hey, yeah, yeah, nah, nah. You beat us today, but we're going to pay your check someday. So it wasn't about sports. It was about, you know, making money in the real world, politics and business. And those kids talked all day long about destroying the American economy. And so you learn that, and that's what's going on right now. Now, here's the third thing. We talked about Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky taught Obama and taught us at Columbia, hide your true intentions. In other words, misrepresent, commit fraud, lie. So Obamacare is about saving the uninsured, as opposed to what it's really about, income redistribution. Government regulations are to protect us from global warming, as opposed to wiping out small business. It's true intention. Amnesty for illegal immigrants is about fairness, as opposed to creating 12 million new Democratic voters. High taxes are to create equality, as opposed to starving Obama's political opposition and creating shared misery. Obscene government spending is about helping widows and orphans, as opposed to bribing Obama's voters with redistribution of wealth. Higher teacher salaries are to reward actually reward terrible performance, but they're for the kids as opposed to the truth, enriching teachers' unions so they could funnel hundreds of millions of dollars to Democratic politicians. Bailing out GM was to save jobs as opposed to the truth, saving bloated auto union pensions. It's always about lying to cover up the Marxist agenda of destroying the middle class, redistributing wealth, and putting big government in control of our every move. Why the lies? We were taught at Columbia that it's for the greater good, and we know what's best for those people, meaning the middle class. It's best for you to be in shared misery because it will equal equality and justice. The ends justify the means, and communism's always better for people in the end. And Obama learned well. And then the key to all of it, here's the real key to all of it. Turn the key right now. Boil the frog slowly. We learned at Columbia to set the fire so low, the frog dies without realizing he's being cooked. By the time you realize you're being cooked, you are dead. That's why every Obama speech starts and ends with, "I'm here to save the middle class." Well, his actions are annihilating the middle class. He's boiling the frog slowly, and by the time the middle class realizes he's the killer sent to destroy him, and they're the prey, they're already dead. The root, excuse the pun coming from Wayne Root, but the root of every Obama policy, everything Obama does, and everything happening in the U.S. economy all started at Columbia. The entire Obama agenda to overwhelm the system, wipe out the middle class, bankrupt small business, destroy capitalism, it was all hatched at Columbia. Obama may have never attended class, but he learned well. He should have received the Karl Marx Award for student most likely to destroy America. What a story, huh? I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. My book is The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. To find out more stories about Obama and his past, go out and get The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide at Amazon.com. Great New Year's gift. Find out more at my website, rootforamerica.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Great guests coming up. Take some more calls, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. This is war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's just that one party has taken straight aim at the middle class. The Democrats live for more onerous regulation on businesses. That's irrelevant.
Michael Savage.
Of course the Republicans are for big business, but the Democrats are for big business. It's big business that runs the country. So what's wrong with big business?
Without big business, there'd be no big country.
So let's stop being fools about it. We're no longer making buggy whips and Swiss cheese in our backyard.
The Savage Nation. Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, listener discretion, Wayne Allyn-Root on board. It's war. This is a war. I'm the capitalist evangelist, the anti-Obama, former libertarian vice presidential nominee, and the author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. By the way, our next guest is coming on in just a minute. We're going to take a quick call before then, but our next guest is Craig Smith, founder, chairman of Swiss America. I just wanted to tell a very quick story because one of the great guys in America today, one of the great experts on the economy, on finances, and on precious metals, and I went to him. I wrote the Obamacare Answer Guide. I said, you know, my book is a national bestseller, but it's not about Obamacare in specific. It's about Obama. And now Obamacare's out, and it's a nightmare. And I said, if I write a little, kind of a mini book, a report, a mini book, with a 14-point plan to mitigate the effects of Obamacare, to save yourself from Obamacare, I'd like to give it out free to everyone. Would you underwrite the entire thing? And Craig Smith, my hero, said yes. So Swiss America underwrote the whole thing. It's free to everyone. And so here's the toll-free number to get the Obamacare Answer Guide by Wayne Allyn-Root free. 855-700-ROOT. 855, toll-free number, 700-ROOT. That's 855-700-7282. 7668, or you can go to the website, root4swiss.com, and just ask for your free Obamacare answer guide. That's it. No strings attached. It's free. The postage is free. Even the phone call is free. So there's absolutely nothing that you have to pay for, and I wrote it from beginning to end, and it's a mini book about how you mitigate the effects of Obamacare, the Obamacare Answer Guide, 855-700-ROOT, R-O-O-T. All right, before we get to Craig, though, before we get to my hero, I want to take one call. Alex from Memphis, who says he could lose his business or his home due to Obamacare. Hey, Alex.
Hi, yeah, I'm so glad you're on this show. I miss Mr. Savage, but you're very interesting because you've got a lot of different things to say. And I wanted to say, if you didn't pay for your IRS taxes on your home, you would lose your home, correct?
You said the RS taxes? I'm not sure what you mean. The real estate taxes? What are you referring to?
Any tax. Any tax that you didn't pay, you could lose your home.
Well, if you don't pay your property taxes, yes, government can take away your home. They could certainly slap a lien on your home. So if you have to sell it, then they get the first monies out to pay the property taxes.
Right. Well, since Obamacare is a tax, and it's through the IRS, if you don't pay your fees and fines, you could lose your home. A small business, like say a lady who has like a man has a plumbing business and he has 5 employees and he can't pay for their insurance, he could lose his truck, he could lose his equipment and his home. And because of with the older people who are getting the Medicare, it used to be if an older person got Medicare, then when they died, that was just over. Now, if you have Obamacare and you have a grandmother or something who was going to leave you her house, Obamacare is going to come take back what she got, and then if there's anything left, you can have that.
Well, I'll go a step further. You can go to jail. Forget about them taking your house. The penalties and the fines right now, but eventually it will turn into criminal charges if you don't choose to pay Obamacare and then you don't pay the penalty. They'll slap you with jail time, and you'll wind up in jail for not paying for Obamacare. That's number one. Number two, Alex, the sale of your home will be taxed by Obamacare. So now there's a new 3.8% tax on the profits of capital gains. So that's your stocks, that's your home, whatever it is you buy, there's a new 3.8% tax on the day you sell it. So if you have a home and you make $100,000 on the sale, which is pretty easy, you know, in this world, if you own a home for 20 years, you're going to make $100,000 on it. Well, now there's a new $3,800 tax on top of all other taxes just for Obamacare before you've paid your capital gains tax. And if you happen to make $1 million on your home, let's say you own it for 20 years and in a place like California or New York, you could make $1 million on a home. You could buy it for $500,000 and sell it for $1.5 million 20 years later. So it was your risk of $500,000 that got you in the home, your payments of the mortgage, your payments of the insurance, your payments of the property tax that allowed you to make that million, but government thinks they have a right to steal an extra $38,000 now just for Obamacare off the tap on that $1 million gain before you've paid your capital gains tax. Amazing. And, of course, the IRS now has a right, with more agents than ever before and more money being spent than ever before, to snoop into every aspect of your business, your life, and your bank accounts. This is what Obama's done to our world, folks. All right, time to get to our guest. Thank you, Alex. Craig Smith, chairman and CEO, founder of Swiss America, the website SwissAmerica.com, the author of The Great Withdrawal, is with us, one of the great experts on precious metals, the economy, debt, the effect that debt has on great countries and how quickly they become not-so-great countries, ex-empires. Hey, Craig, how are you?
Wayne, I'm great. It's great to be with you.
It's great to have you on. Now, you are the author of The Great Withdrawal. Give us a quick synopsis of what the point of that book is, The Great Withdrawal.
Well, when Lowell Ponte and I set out to write the book, it actually took a turn because when we were writing it, Detroit went bankrupt. And we actually used Detroit as the metaphor, if you will, for the rest of the country. And you had hit on it earlier in your last hour. We are paying out pensions and promises that it's impossible for us to pay in the future. And now we're starting to see that the American people are getting it, and they're starting to withdraw from this whole belief that the government can take care of you cradle to grave. And as a direct result of that, we believe that there's going to be a mass exodus from the banking system, a mass exodus from the financial system in America, as Americans start to take more responsibilities for their future. And, you know, I heard your last segment about Cloward Piven. Wayne, you couldn't be more right. You know, for years I gave Mr. Obama the benefit of the doubt. I thought he was just a good guy but misguided. I figured he, you know, his ideology was just off. Now I'm thoroughly convinced that he is out to try and really harm America. And it's sad that you and I have to have a discussion to tell people that they must protect themselves against their own president. It's frightening.
Frightening. And it's funny because, you know, you're bringing up again the government pensions and how we can't afford them. You know what most people don't know, Craig? That, you know, they're aware that we've promised big pensions, but they don't realize most of it is unfunded. So, you know, like in the state of Nevada, we have a $20 billion unfunded liability for future government pensions. $20 billion in a little tiny state like Nevada that, by the way, has the least government employees in the nation. And so that's the unfunded portion. What people understand is a certain amount's been set apart, set aside. That's the funded portion. The $20 billion is unfunded. Now, the part that's funded is based on getting a pie-in-the-sky hypothetical return of like 7 or 8% a year. They're assuming that the investment geniuses can make 7 or 8% a year with the money that's in the bank. And if there's a year where you get negative 7%, like we've had in the last few years, you're nowhere near paying any of it, funded or unfunded.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why there was a great article on CNBC.com talking about either you believe in math or you believe in magic.
Right.
And you have to believe in magic to believe that the government can pull this off. We know now that we have a minimum of $100 trillion worth of unfunded mandates, and I think it's substantially higher than that. We also have $17 trillion worth of current debt. And what amazes me about it, Wayne, is we just passed a bill called the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, that is now saying to the young people, hey, we've buried you in $120 trillion worth of debt, but now we want you to pay to take care of us in our old age for our bad health because we've lived the lives of kings and now we're putting it on our shoulders. Wayne, if I was a young person, I'd be carrying a pitchfork and going to Washington, D.C.
Well, you know what's sad, Craig? Don't forget that Obama got among his highest percentage of vote success among young people. The very people he's burying voted for him. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I was just reading on that tonight, too. And it's amazing. I guess it was the cool thing to do, Wayne. You know, everybody was voting for Obama because he's the cool guy. He's on David Letterman. He holds a rally and a million people show up. Unfortunately, the cool guy has no clue how to run an economy. He has no clue how to run a government. And if there has been an absentee president, it's been this one. Mr. Obama has made Jimmy Carter the happiest person in the world because now Jimmy Carter will go down as the second worst president we've ever had instead of the worst.
Well, by the way, that's the whole point I keep making, that nobody ever saw Obama Columbia. I never said he didn't go there. I don't think he ever showed up in a single class. That shows a sense of entitlement. That shows a lazy personality. That shows a guy who thinks he can get by and cut corners. Isn't that the exact presidency he's led? He plays golf and goes on vacations all the time. It's the same as the guy who never showed up in class. It was a key indicator to his personality back then, 30 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, Wayne, that's why I think we're starting to see it show up in the economy. I mean, everybody wants to tout all these great numbers because we've seen a Fed-fueled increase in the Dow. People have to understand the Dow Jones is not the economy. We still have very bad unemployment. We still have very tepid growth. I mean, we're 3-4 years into a recovery. We should be growing at 6-7%. If this was the Reagan years, we'd see that type of growth occurring. It's not happening. And that's why I've been such an advocate for gold. People keep talking about how gold has recently come back. I thank God that gold has dropped some because it gives people the opportunity to get back in and protect themselves against the tsunami that we know is coming. And what's amazing to me is that everybody knows it, but everybody thinks everything's going to be okay. Wayne, keep in mind, better to be a year early than 5 seconds too late because once it hits, it's going to hit, and I know I'm preaching to the choir with you, my dear friend, but I'm going to tell you something. The U.S. dollar is headed down the road to destruction. We talked about it in the Great Withdrawal. It happened to the Athenians. It happened to the Romans. It happened to the Ottomans. It happened to the British. I could go right through the groups and show you there's been over 107 currency collapses in the last 125 years. Russia's a perfect example in the 90s. Israel has the new shekel. I mean, currency collapse don't happen where people stand in line waiting for bread. They happen quietly, they happen softly, and all of a sudden the middle class, and that's why I can't wait for your new book, the middle class gets murdered in the process.
Yeah, Craig's referring to my new book that's out in July. Can't get it yet, but it's called The Murder of the Middle Class. Not only can't you get it, I haven't written it. It's due on March 15th, Craig, and I got to get busy as soon as I'm done hosting Michael Savage. It's time to start writing the book. Hey, Craig Smith, you can find out more about him at SwissAmerica.com. He's going to stay with us through the break. We'll be back on the other side to talk about why gold is so low. I think it's a great opportunity to buy. That's why it's so low. And Craig and Swiss America, the guys that sponsor my Obamacare Answer Guide, free with a 14-point plan to help save yourself from Obamacare. Get it at 855-700-ROOT. That's 855, toll-free, 700-ROOT, R-O-O-T. That's 855-700-7668. Or go to root4swiss.com and get your free copy, 100% free, the Obamacare Answer Guide. We'll be right back. This is War. Wayne Allyn Root on Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're back with the Captain's Evangelist, Wayne Allyn Root. This is War. I'm your anti-Obama. And by the way, this segment is Craig Smith's our guest, founder, chairman, CEO of Swiss America. You can find them at SwissAmerica.com. But interestingly, they're the company, just by chance, he's my guest, they're the company that backed my Obamacare Answer Guide and agreed to pay for every single one of them, going out free to every single person that wants one. Phone number, 855-700-ROOT, 855-700-ROOT, R-O-O-T, for Wayne Allyn Root. The website, root4swiss.com. Just ask for your free Obamacare Answer Guide. If Obamacare scares you, this is the answer, 855-700-ROOT. O-O-T. All right, we're on with Craig Smith. So, Craig, here's the deal. I'm someone who believes that we had a 12-year incredible bull run in gold because of debt and spending and corruption and corrupt politicians and ignorant politicians and entitlements all run wild, all got government gone wild. So what exactly has changed to make gold go down? If you ask me, all those things are worse than ever, not better. So why is gold down?
Yeah, actually, things are worse, Wayne. And, of course, you saw a lot of people that were bailing out of the ETFs, the exchange-traded funds, and that had a lot of negative impact on gold. But also, you've kind of had the all-clear signal that's been sent out because the stock market's doing so well. Everybody thinks everything's fine, and there's no reason to have an insurance policy on your portfolio anymore. And nobody could be more wrong than they are right now. Look, in 1913, when we created the Federal Reserve, that's what the book The Great Withdrawal is about, what the progressives have done to debase not only America, but the U.S. dollar over the last 100 years. If you look up till the 1900s, our prices were very stable in this country. And then with the forming of the Federal Reserve, our debt-to-GDP ratios went up every single year. And right now, since Nixon closed the gold window, and I'll just say till 2010 to keep it in simple terms, we have seen the CPI go up 500%, Wayne. People forget, when Mr. Reagan took office in 1981, from 71 to 81, you saw 100% increase in prices. That is going to happen again, Wayne. The Fed never gets it right. They overshoot or they undershoot every time. And I would argue that unless we had increased the debt the way that we did, we wouldn't have any growth in America. And now we have a $4 trillion balance sheet at the Fed. We have unfunded liabilities up the yazoo. And the point is that right now gold should be responding to the upside. However, because all the currencies are debasing right now and we are the best of the worst, people are still sticking with the dollar, and the dollar being stronger has suppressed the price of gold recently. But I can assure you, as sure as I'm sitting here, we will look back at $1,200 gold as being one of the greatest buying opportunities in the history of the gold market. I remember people saying to me, why didn't I buy at $400? Why didn't I buy at $500? Soon you'll be saying, why didn't I buy at $1,200? Because the prognostications of $2,500 and above are small in comparison to what the world economy is doing.
Hey, Craig, we're going to have to say goodbye. It's time to head to break. Great answer. Hey, look, I'm jumping in with both fists. You know, just because your house hasn't burned down yet doesn't mean you don't want to own insurance. I love it. Gold at SwissAmerica.com. Craig Smith, thank you. Wonderful guest. We'll be right back. This is War, Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, this is War, Wayne Allen Root, guest host for Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation. Call the number 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I am the capitalist evangelist, the author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, and as the capitalist evangelist, it's only apropos that I have a hero of capitalism on the radio with me right now. His name is Wayne Gorsuch. He built a multi-$100 million-per-year business, millions of customers, one of the top vitamin companies in the world, the number one online vitamin company in America, an Inc. 500 Hall of Fame company, took them public, retired, and instead of having fun walking into the sunset in his wonderful new retired carefree life, he decided to come off the sidelines, get back in action, build a new vitamin company, invest tens of millions of dollars. It's Dr. Vita, which you can find at drvita.com, and I'd like to know why. Wayne, are you crazy or just plain crazy like a fox?
Hey, Wayne, thank you for having me on the show and the very kind words up to the last sentence or two there. you know, I'm passionate about nutrition and the science of nutrition, and I got into it because my grandparents raised and adopted me from out of the hospital, and I saw how terrible aging was as they entered their 70s. I entered my teen years, and they developed things like Parkinson's and heart failure and dementia, and I saw just disastrous results using drugs and mainstream doctors and surgeries, and started doing my own research nights and weekends in a medical school library, and learned that the best way and really the only way to stay healthy is good nutrition, good supplements, moderate exercise, but yet the doctors weren't teaching us that. They weren't talking about these things, even though there was literally hundreds of thousands of studies in the medical literature over the last, 100-plus years.
By the way, Wayne, isn't that because doctors aren't taught that themselves in medical school, because medical schools are sponsored by pharmaceutical companies?
That is absolutely correct. They get so little training on nutrition that it's ineffective and actually wrong what they're taught. And then, sadly, the dietitians are just as bad. They teach people you don't need vitamins, eat the food pyramid, and look at the results. We've got record obesity rates of 60-70%, record rates of disease, and record healthcare costs that have now exceeded $2.6 trillion a year. And it used to be where the national defense was 3 to 5 times more of the budget than healthcare. Now it's reversed. The healthcare costs are 3 to 5 times more than national defense.
And by the way, the number one issue, I think, as bad as cancer is horrible, as bad as heart disease is horrible, strokes, etc., diabetes seems to be the one that is bankrupting the American healthcare system. And I keep reading, Wayne, by the way, so people don't get confused, it's Wayne and Wayne. It's the Wayne and Wayne Show. Wayne Root, your guest host, Wayne Gorsuch on, the CEO and founder of DrVita.com. But what I keep reading is that in 20 years from now, something like 35% of the American population will be either diabetic or pre-diabetic, and the cost will be in the trillions of dollars. What are we going to do? Where can anyone get the money? What country could afford this kind of illness?
Wayne, I remember when I first got into nutrition, the healthcare costs were $1 trillion a year, and I thought if we don't do something to stop this out-of-control healthcare costs growth and disease rates, we're going to go bankrupt. Now it's $2.6 trillion a year. It's unsustainable. It's a reason we're losing millions of jobs. Companies cannot afford to pay for healthcare costs now. The situation with people relying on pharmaceutical interventions that cure and prevent nothing in most examples, relying on surgeries. There was just a study out on knee surgery where it doesn't work. You know, they compared the real knee surgery to a placebo one, and the placebo was just as good. And we're spending all this money, and getting a terrible result. In fact, our mortality rates compared to the rest of the world, we're ranked number like 50.
You know, well, it's one of the things that drives me crazy. It's one of the big arguments in my life is that, you know, I'm a political guy. Obviously, that's why I'm guest hosting Savage Show. That's why I have a national political bestseller, one of the 10 best-selling books of the year 2013, by the way, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. Quick shameless plug there. But having said that, I'm a vitamin guy. Since I was 16 years old, and I was this little skinny wimp that had sand thrown in my face and got beat up day and night in a very, very dangerous, literally violent inner-city school and fought for my life every day, Wayne. And then I learned about vitamins. I don't remember what triggered it, but I started reading Prevention Magazine. I started taking vitamins, and I started lifting weights, and I started taking boxing lessons, and my life changed, and I sprang up, and I grew, and I got rid of my glasses and got rid of my braces and became a different person. And I credit to this day, 40 years later, vitamins changing my life. They give me the energy to be the person I am, never sick a day in my life. I don't get flu shots. I take vitamins. Why don't other people know about this?
Well, Wayne, there's a vested financial interest by the FDA that's in bed with the drug companies and the hospitals and the doctors and surgeons. They want to keep the $2.6 trillion a year coming in. I mean, imagine if a cardiologist actually taught you how to prevent heart disease with nutrition, supplements, exercise that was effective advice, then his income might drop from millions a year to, sadly, maybe only a couple hundred grand a year. And until we change our reimbursement of doctors and drug companies and hospitals to where right now the sicker you are, the more diseases, the more surgery, the more drugs, the more tests, the more they all make, until we change that to where they're rewarded for keeping us healthy and preventing and reversing disease naturally, we're not going to solve this situation. So people are really on their own, and unless you got a natural medical doctor, which sadly there's only less than 1% in this country, you're probably getting very bad advice as it relates to nutrition from a medical doctor or even a dietitian.
I'll give you testimony to that. 21 years ago, my mother died of breast cancer. Matter of fact, my mother and father died 28 days apart of breast and lung cancer. Very tough time in my life. And I remember I was probably the most well-known professional sports handicapper in America at that time. That was in another life, a Las Vegas odds maker in another life. And I was in my mother's bedside while she was dying of cancer, and I spoke to the oncologist who was treating her. And I told him that I wanted my mom to exercise. She'd never done it in her life, and to eat healthy. She ate way too much fat, way too much meat, way too much junk food. And that doctor looked me in the face 21 years ago, a brilliant oncologist, probably went to Harvard, and he saw a Vegas odds maker in front of him, and he literally made fun of me and said, you know, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. There's no connection of any kind between breast cancer and exercise and diet. That was 21 years ago, and that brilliant man said that to me, and it turned out the Vegas odds maker was smarter than the brilliant doctor, because 21 years later, we all know there's a major connection between exercise, diet, and all forms of cancer, let alone breast cancer. That shows you putting your faith in a guy with a white smock and a stethoscope is not necessarily the right thing to do.
Yes, Wayne, you're correct. Unless they're a naturopath trained properly, which there's very few that are, you know, you're on your own. You've really got to do your own research, and that's one reason I felt I needed to start another vitamin company, because I don't see the situation improving, and I know that the only solution is to stay healthy, and yes, you can eat a healthy diet. Most don't, but we'll talk about that and give some advice on that and what to avoid that's killing you and causing cancer and diabetes and so on. But you've got to take good supplements. You just don't get adequate levels of a lot of nutrients out of even a healthy diet.
All right, so you started Dr. Vita, which is drvita.com. Your original company was the number one online vitamin company in America, so we have a reasonable assumption that you know what you're doing, and this drvita.com may become the number one online vitamin company in America, yet you started it in this terrible, terrible economy. So, you know, my question to you is, did you start this for a love of money, or did you start it because you want to make people healthier? Because probably the money's not going to be there in this economy and with this guy as president, the same kind of money as you saw the last time that you made yourself a huge fortune.
Well, Wayne, the way I was successful prior was putting the science first. And sadly, most CEOs and owners of vitamin companies do not do that. They're not science-oriented. They're not passionate about the science, and I've seen that happen in my prior company. I've been gone for 4 years now, and they've not improved any of my formulas that I created 4 to 5, 6 plus years ago, even though the science has evolved dramatically and helps us create much better formulas today than 4 or 5 years ago. And I love manufacturing, and I built a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I toured it. It's incredible.
Thank you. I'm very proud that the governor provided an award to us for creating jobs that's badly needed in Nevada. Nevada was hit really hard because it relied too much on gaming and tourism, and they're working really hard to diversify into other non-gaming, non-tourism industries. And I love to go back, and I love to see these formulas that I've created that I know will work. People that take them tell me they feel decades younger, their energy levels improve, their immunity improves, every function you can imagine from joint to brain, cardiovascular improves. And knowing, watching those new Bosch machines that are German-engineered and the latest LB Bowley German-patented blending technologies, and watching those machines make my formulas and knowing the benefits the consumer is going to have, it just really makes me happy, to be very straight.
Well, you sent me an email before we got on the air because I asked you what you wanted to discuss on the show tonight, and you talked to me about helping people, about showing them what kind of nutrients can help them to stay healthier. And that's what we want to teach people, because if you're healthy, then you don't have to worry about, or at least don't have to worry quite as much, about getting involved in the Obamacare healthcare system that you and I both agree is about to go downhill very, very drastically. So let's talk a little bit about the top 10 nutrients people should be taking. Let's start with vitamin D.
Yes, vitamin D. Some say Linus Pauling, one of my top heroes in the world that ever walked the planet, who lived into his 90s, was a big advocate of high-dose nutrients. In fact, he invented orthomolecular medicine back in the 50s and 60s, and he was a huge advocate of high-dose vitamin C. And that provides a lot of benefits, don't get me wrong, but some say he was just one letter off, and he should have focused on vitamin D. D seems to be required for literally every cell in the body to stay healthy, and sadly, our diet provides so little. Most people do not get it through the sun because they're not getting, you got to get no clothes on, you got to get 48 hours where you don't take a bath or shower after sun exposure, otherwise it washes the vitamin D away before it's absorbed, and if you use sunblock, it also blocks the vitamin D production in the sun. And so most everybody is very, very deficient, and sadly, the RDA, or now they're called daily values, DVs, are terrible. They're typically around 400 IU, and the studies show provide no benefits. You got to get up to 4,000 to 5,000 IU per day to get healthy, optimal blood levels, which will dramatically improve your immunity. It helps you maintain your balance as you age, your bones. I don't know if you saw the where that MMA fighter broke his leg.
Yeah, it literally broke in half.
That's pretty scary. And I would argue that a deficiency of D3, K2, and magnesium are responsible for a lot of issues with poor bone health, particularly in dark-skinned people. He's a Brazilian man.
Correct.
And the darker your skin pigmentation, the less vitamin D you're going to naturally produce.
Right. He was an MMA fighter and literally the champion of MMA, and it was probably the single most gruesome video anyone had ever seen in the history of MMA. Just incredible. Some of the other vitamins that you list, as an example, magnesium. That's a very underplayed vitamin. I never hear anyone talking about magnesium, and yet it's involved in so many incredible functions of the body.
Yes, Wayne. I've been an advocate of magnesium over calcium, actually, for 20-plus years. What I've read is that the magnesium levels we're getting out of our diet are about a third of what we actually need. We need 400 to 600 milligrams minimum. Average diet's 150, roughly. And then calcium, if you take too much calcium, it actually increases heart attack rates. And I believe the reason why is it impairs what little magnesium you're actually getting from your diet. And magnesium is required, along with CoQ10 and B vitamins, to produce cellular energy, or ATP it's called, to keep the brain, the cardiovascular system, healthy, which are the two parts of your body that consume the most ATP. And as we age, the levels of that ATP drop off, and those cells start to deteriorate, age, and die, sadly.
All right, we're going to break. Stay with us. When we get back, we'll be talking to Wayne about more of the vitamins that are necessary to keep you healthy so you can stay out of Obamacare, and also about the attacks on the vitamin industry from Big Pharma in the last 2 weeks, and why I think it's happening. I do want to mention on your list of the best nutrients, some of my favorites, zinc and selenium, two of the ones that I take in mega doses, and, of course, grapeseed and resveratrol, two also incredible, incredible nutrients that I think you can't live without. We'll talk about more when we get back. This is Wayne Allen Root. This is War. We're on with Wayne Gorsuch of DrVita.com. We'll be right
back. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
So the Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Hey, everyone, Wayne Allen Root. A little eclectic host tonight. A little politics, Obama's background. Now we're talking a little bit of vitamins. Throw a little sports. Holiday Bowl going on right now in San Diego, Texas Tech. Up 13-0, they just scored. 13-0 over Arizona State, what could be a giant upset. Texas Tech, a huge 15-point underdog, up 13-0. Back to vitamins. Because vitamins tie in to politics. Because if you don't have the energy to fight Obama, you're in trouble. And if you don't have the health to stay out of Obamacare and the health care system from now on, you're in trouble. Have you ever met anyone who lives in Canada or England or any of the countries in Europe like Romania? My buddy lives in Romania. His grandmother got sick. It's free health care. They took her to the Romanian hospital, and the doctor demanded a $2,000 cash bribe to treat her. Folks, that's a small country. Romania has like 3 million people living in it. Wait till you see what happens to a country with 313 million people in a healthcare system that has no new doctors, and they added 30 million patients. They're going to put their hands out and ask for bribes to treat your grandmother. And the same government that runs the post office is going to set up grandpa's cancer surgery. Good luck. Post office loses $16 billion a year without competition. That's who we put in charge of the healthcare system. You better take your vitamins. We're on the line with Wayne Gorsuch, who founded a vitamin company called DrVita.com. And it's on its way to becoming the number one online vitamin company in America, DrVita.com. Speaking of energy, you know I'm Mr. Energy, Wayne. So what are the vitamins I should be taking to gain even more energy? Or for anyone out there who wants to gain my kind of energy, what are the energy vitamins?
Well, before I respond to that, Wayne, I'd like to make a comment about dumbing people down. I really believe, based on overwhelming science that I've studied, that the lack of nutrients, particularly B complex, omega-3s, and many others, vitamin D, and then the excess quantity of chemicals, genetically modified foods, high fructose corn syrup, is actually dumbing people down. It destroys their energy and it makes them stupid. Literally destroys their brain cells.
And hence, we have Obama as president. It makes sense. It all makes, the story makes sense now. Now the final piece of the puzzle is in, courtesy of Wayne Gorsuch of DrVita.com. We've all been dumbed down. We don't have the brain vitamins and nutrients. And so we make bad decisions and you vote for Obama. I get it. So energy vitamins. What can we take to gain energy? Because I'd like even more energy.
I mentioned earlier ATP, the energy molecule of the cell. That's produced by the mitochondria, or the power plant of the cell, and there's several nutrients critical for that, and one of them is CoQ10, and there's a new Ferrari version, I'll call it out, called CoQH, or ubiquinol for the full word. And that nutrient I'm really excited about because my grandfather had Parkinson's, and it's a terrible disease. I watched him deteriorate where he started shaking, couldn't get out of chairs. It's just awful. And the only nutrient or drug or anything ever shown to slow progression of Parkinson's is CoQ10. They use dosages. The best results were at 1,200 milligrams per day. Most people, when I started my prior vitamin company, were only taking 10 to 100 milligrams per day. And CoQ10 is just amazing nutrient that feeds that mitochondria to produce ATP. And they know now that as we age, the brain, the heart, your immune system starts to die off because of a lack of mitochondria and ATP. The CoQH, you can take a smaller dose because it's four times more effective, better absorbed, and you can take 100 to 200 milligrams of that, and that's similar to 600 to 1,200 of the regular CoQ10.
All right. Fantastic stuff from Wayne Gorsuch of DrVita.com. Now, our time is up, but I'll tell you what. I want to hold you over when we go to the break. Stay on the phone. I want to just talk real quickly when we come back with Wayne Gorsuch about the war on vitamins by Big Pharma that seems to be going on right now. So we'll be right back on Savage Nation. This is War. Wayne Allyn Root.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And now, most America's exciting guest host, Wayne Allyn Root. How are you, folks? War. Wayne Allyn Root, guest host for Dr. Michael Savage. Hey, he's the most exciting host in America, so can I take credit for being the most exciting guest host? Call the number 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I'm the capitalist evangelist, the author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. I'm on the line with Wayne Gorsuch, founder of DrVita.com, one of the most successful and popular online vitamin sites in America. You want to be healthy from Obamacare? Take your vitamins. Take your nutrients. And you want to save some money in these bad economic times? They actually cost about half. I went and looked up his website. They cost about half of what you spend at a typical supermarket, grocery store, Whole Foods. Half. So you either spend half as much or get twice as many vitamins for your entire family at DrVita.com. Now, I held you over, Wayne. This is Wayne Root. I'm on with Wayne Gorsuch. It's Wayne and Wayne right now. I held you over because I wanted to ask you about the war on vitamins. It appears, I've seen this war go on for years now, for decades. I've been taking vitamins for 40 years, and I've seen this war on vitamins by Big Pharma for 40 years, but I've never seen the intensity that I've seen in the last 2 weeks. It seems like there's a full frontal assault on vitamins. What the heck do you think is happening?
Wayne, I mean, if you look at magazines, television, who's got all the money funding the ads?
It's
the
pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly. And what's really sad is 99% of the studies that are positive, which is thousands per year on hundreds of different nutrients, they don't cover. And then you get a negative study, which, you know, if you study water thousands of times a year, you're going to statistically by chance get a few negative studies. Then they'll cover that. Now, I do agree the study that just came out saying the typical multivitamin is worthless. I agree with that. I've been warning people for 20 years against the typical multivitamin. That's what drove me into the business. They're lacking the nutrients that are the best, like green tea, turmeric, alpha lipoic acids. They're the methyl active form of B12. In fact, they got a cyanide form of B12, and then they got terrible levels of it. They put trace amounts, a lot of chemicals in a typical multi, and probably the worst offense of all is they put copper in them. Copper has been proven to cause Alzheimer's and increase your mortality rate up to 160%. So if you got a multivitamin and it's got copper in it, take it back for a refund. You don't want to take that, and if it doesn't have 4,000 to 5,000 IU of D3, take it back for a refund. It's a terrible vitamin. And look for the methyl or active form. A B12, you want 500 to 1,000 micrograms per day. It's critical for repairing the cells. You asked about cellular energy. The B-complex with the methyl B12 is amazing for that purpose. And the methyl, you don't have to get B12 injections. It's so effective orally in a capsule the way we provide it that most people can get rid of the expensive and painful B12 injections.
You know, you and I are like frickin' frack. We're a great team here. Wayne and Wayne, I've got the energy, and you've got the knowledge, the breadth of knowledge about vitamins like no one I've ever met in my life. You are a breath of fresh air. By the way, doesn't your company create a multivitamin that solves all of those problems?
I have two that I'm very proud of. I've got, for those that will only take one capsule per day, which capsule's far easier to swallow and no chemicals, unlike a big rock-hard tablet that most are in. We've got a once daily, one per day, and we get as much as we can in there. We get 4,000 IU of D3. We get a good amount of B-complex, but we don't really have room for a lot of extra magnesium and turmeric and things of that nature, so we have to put lower levels because of just the one capsule. My favorite is the six daily, where in six capsules per day, which, again, all natural, easy to swallow, Then we can get adequate magnesium. Then we can get a lot more turmeric, alpha-lipoic acid, resveratrol, grapeseed, green teas, things that most multivitamins are missing entirely. And so it's no surprise that when they do a study on a typical multi, it fails. Because if you look at what people are buying at the, you know, mass market, you know, brick-and-mortar stores and you know, the knockoffs of the most popular complete A to Z, if you know what I'm talking about, they're lacking. They don't even have any CoQ10. I mean, I can't even imagine putting out a multivitamin with no coenzyme Q10. I mean,
well, that's why you founded Dr. Vita, to make a difference in people's lives and to really introduce health to the average American consumer, many of which buy things cheaply at a supermarket, and they're not getting what they need to get because it's cheap, quote-unquote. You get what you pay for in life. But I think the interesting thing here is, Wayne, that glass people live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And when the drug companies criticize vitamins, I can't think of anyone who dies from taking a vitamin or gets deathly ill, but I can think of, what, 100,000 people a year die from interactions with prescribed drugs?
Yes, there was a study in JAMA some years ago that showed 120,000 people in the U.S. dying on prescribed prescription drugs taken as directed, and millions more were hospitalized each year. You know, people think because it's FDA approved, it's safe. Ineffective. That's not true. I mean, they FDA approved these COX-2 inhibitors and said they were safer than the NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, for example. Turned out they doubled heart attack rates, and they were just as bad or worse than the less expensive old off-patent drugs they were using, and that's what the doctors are pushing. I got a friend who's 83 years old, founder of a hundreds of million, he put his own money into an aviation museum, doing the right thing for the greater good of humanity, and he's in very poor health right now, and the doctors, what do? Put him on 15 different drugs. 15 different drugs, and three of the drugs can cause strokes and bleeding and death, and they even give you warnings in the FDA prescribing information that those drugs combined increase the risk of bleeding and stroke. And in fact, the doctors killed my grandfather. They gave him drugs that caused a stroke, and that's how they killed him.
What do you think of my theory? My theory is that there just happens to be a war on vitamins right now by Big Pharma, and big mainstream media just happens to be covering it. Every other minute I open a newspaper or the web or a TV station, and I see some sort of study that says vitamins are worthless and vitamins are terrible. I've never seen such an intense attack in all my years on vitamins all at once. And it all happens to be coming when Obamacare is suddenly out there and having its problems. So number one, I could see Obama approving an attack like this from his good friends at Big Pharma because he wants to distract the American public away from the dangers of the healthcare system and the disaster of Obamacare. And number two, I could see this being a deal that the Big Pharma company supported Obamacare, and now they, you know, in return, they get what they want from Obama, and he's given them a green light to finally, once and for all, stick the knife in the back of vitamins and try and destroy them once and for all and make you get a prescription to get your vitamins. So they cannot be sold anymore, you know, over the counter without a prescription at a Whole Foods or a DrVita.com. Do you think something like that may be happening?
Wayne, I totally agree with you. In fact, if you look at the new prescription drug the FDA approved for treating high levels of triglycerides, it's basically a triple-strength fish oil, no better than the fish oils that Dr. Vita sells, but yet the price to get the FDA approved, you know, fish oil for treating high triglycerides is 10 times higher. If the FDA gets control of nutrients and monopolizes them, as far as I call them the Gestapo for the drug industry, you're going to pay 10 times more for your vitamin C, your D, your fish oils, I think what you're saying, it's not so far-fetched. And what I also know is that the biggest absolute junk vitamins sold, which are the ones that were studied that showed no benefit, are made by Big Pharma. You know, they make big money on vitamins. They make big money on drugs, and $260 billion a year, I believe, is the number in the U.S. alone, and where the vitamin industry is a tenth of that number. We're more under $30 billion a year. So for the big pharma, we're a joke. You know, they don't care about nutrients that they can't patent and monopolize and charge thousands of percent markup and monopolize and control that nutrient.
So that's the story. That's what this is all about. They want to get a hold of the vitamin industry, and they want to be the ones who make the money and jack up the price times 10 and force you to get a doctor's prescription. And, of course, the doctors would love to go along with it because the doctors will make money every time you have to go see them just to buy a vitamin. You'll have to pay them for your prescription. And, of course, the media loves it, Wayne. Why? Because the media has to go along with anything Big Pharma says and cover their stories because right now the whole country's broke because of Obama and his policies. So who's left to be the biggest customers of the media? You watch the news at night, every other ad is for a pharmaceutical drug. It's amazing. It seems like, to me, a very ready-made conspiracy between big media, big pharma, and Obama and Obamacare. Hey, Wayne, great to have you on. Wayne Gorsuch, founder of DrVita.com. What a great site. Go there, get all your vitamins, the best vitamins money could buy at the most reasonable price in America, about half of what you'll pay for every vitamin you find in a top-shelf store like a Whole Foods, DrVita.com. Thanks, Wayne, for changing the world. You're one of the heroes of capitalism. We'll be right back. I'm Wayne Allyn Root. This is War on Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hi, this is War. Wayne Allyn Root for Dr. Michael Savage. Call the number 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I am the capitalist evangelist, the anti-Obama, and the author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, one of the top 10 best-selling political books of 2013. We're on the line now with Mark Skousen, an economist, a financial advisor, financial guru. He's the editor of Forecasts and Strategies, one of the top financial newsletters in America, actually the top financial newsletter in America. He's the producer of an event called Freedom Fest, the most incredible libertarian conservative economic show in the world. Each year, each July, in Las Vegas, Freedom Fest. And he was just appointed a presidential fellow at Chapman University. Welcome to the show, Mark Skousen.
Wayne Allyn Root, you are the Michael Savage of the libertarian movement. I'm very far with what you've done. It's congratulations. I think you've done a terrific job on your show.
How do you describe yourself? I've known you for about a decade now, and I've always followed you at Freedom Fest, this incredible event that you have in Vegas every year. Are you a conservative? Are you just a free market guy, a supply side, or a libertarian? What word do you use to describe yourself, Mark Skousen?
Well, our Freedom Fest is the world's largest gathering of free minds. I like to think of myself as a free thinker, an open-minded person, a liberal progressive in the truest sense of the word. But as you know, we have these fights all the time about labels, and I am really fearful that labeling and the divisiveness that labeling does is not good, and we discourage it at Freedom Fest. But, you know, sometimes you have to do it, and you know, libertarian is a good way of describing me, although I've gradually made an evolutionary change. I started out as being quite conservative, especially on social issues, and have shifted over the years to a more libertarian point of view, as you have and others.
But fiscally, you're a conservative, even if you try and avoid that word. To me, conservative means fiscally conservative, free markets, capitalism, pro-business. You are certainly all of those, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think we need to go back to the original meaning. So if you mean to conserve liberty, yes, I would fit into that category. If you mean conserve big government, the welfare state that's established by FDR and by LBJ and by Obama and even by George W. Bush, no, I'm not a conservative. I would like to see radical change, radical surgery on those kinds of things that are going on in government. So I think we have to be very careful of terminology these days.
But you're a supply-sider because that's what you're coming on this show to announce, that you have actually sold the government on your creation of a new way of measuring business output in this country. You've changed the whole way that it's measured, not just in GDP, but now a new gross output statistic that you've put together. Wouldn't you call that a supply-side triumph?
Absolutely, and that's a very good way of putting it. I've campaigned for nearly 25 years to get the government, the federal government, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which is the agency that puts out the quarterly GDP statistics. I've been saying, look, GDP has a lot of problems. It is dysfunctional in many ways. And we've talked about this, Wayne, where government is such a huge part of of the economy, and consumer spending drives the economy. And if consumers don't spend, then the government needs to spend. And business plays a poor third role in GDP statistics. So I've been campaigning for a measure of spending at all stages of production, from the resource stage all the way to final output. And it's called gross output. And finally, the government, the BEA, is coming out with this statistic every quarter starting in April, just like GDP statistics. So finally, we're going to get a statistic that makes business the number one catalyst of the economy, which is what it should be, and the consumer is second, and government is third. So it's just the opposite of what GDP does, and I couldn't be happier. This is a huge triumph, and I know it's a little bit hard to explain this to your listeners. If they just Google gross output Forbes, they'll see my article where I go into great length explaining how this works and why it's such a revolutionary change. And, you know, it's really a good story to think that the government is finally coming out with a statistic that is a more accurate view of how the economy really works.
And what are the initials? GDP, gross domestic product, is GDP. What are your initials?
G-O.
G-O, gross output.
Gross output.
Business goes. I like it. How did you sell the government on this? First of all, as far as economists go, you're probably the most exciting over-the-top economist in America today. You're not one of those dull policy wonks, as people could tell. You've got a very bright, nice, outgoing personality. You got to be a salesman in life. How did you sell the government on a statistic that really plays more to business than it does to government? That's a hard sell.
Yeah, and it took 25 years to do it. Now, the Structure of Production, which is a very academic book, and you have to do that sort of thing. It's like Milton Friedman wrote The Monetary History of the United States, which is 800, 1,000 pages long, to make his case that government was the cause of the Great Depression, not free enterprise. And I wrote The Structure of Production because I knew that our Keynesian model of the economy, let's face it, GDP is a Keynesian concept because it basically promotes the idea that savings is bad and the consumer needs to spend, and if the consumer doesn't spend, government needs to step in and stimulate the economy. And you'll notice...
Mark, wait, let me interrupt you because we're going to ad break. I'm keeping you over, so stay on the line. We'll be right back with you. I want to talk more about this and also Freedom Fest. I want everyone out there to be familiarized with Freedom Fest, the greatest libertarian show on earth in Las Vegas in July. I'm Wayne Allyn Root. We're on with Mark Skousen of Freedom Fest, and this is Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Wayne Allyn Root, this is war. Call the number 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The website, michaelsavage.com. I am the capitalist evangelist. My website is rootforamerica.com, and my book, the national bestseller, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. I'm on the line with Mark Skousen, the founder and producer of Freedom Fest, one of the greatest shows on earth. If you like economics, if you like finding out where to invest your money, how to protect your assets, and a whole range of events, including a libertarian film festival, it's all each July in Las Vegas, Freedom Fest. Mark, where can they find out about it? Freedomfest.com, I assume?
Yep, freedomfest.com, and they just go there. And, in fact, we have a 2.5-minute video that everyone ought to watch on Big Brother. That's our theme. Every year we have a new theme. Last year was... Are We Rome? And you were our opening act to introduce everybody to. We had 2,500 people there. The idea is to bring together once a year everybody in the freedom movement, the best and the brightest. We had 2,500 people there, over 100 speakers. We had all the think tanks, all the freedom organizations. Steve Forbes and John Mackey of Whole Foods are our co-ambassadors. We have, Senator Rand Paul coming, Grover Norquist, the most powerful person in Washington, Steve Moore of the Wall Street Journal. We have H.W. Brands, the historian, coming this time. I mean, we have just a wide variety of top speakers, sessions, breakout, exhibit hall. It's a wonderful experience. You've been there for numerous years, and And you know how tough it is to put on a good conference, but people love this conference. They just can't get enough of it.
Well, and I don't stay at any of the conferences. I'm hired all around the world to speak, and I'll come in, give a speech, and leave. This is the only one where Mark brings me in each year to open the event, and we have a great time doing it. But then, you know, I'm the type of person that leaves. I have other things to do. I stay every year for the entire 3 or 4 days of Freedom Fest. I think this year was the first year it started on a Wednesday, so I stayed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, plus Wednesday night. So I give up 4 days of my schedule to be around. It's like being a sponge and absorbing all the great conservative and libertarian and just plain great economic ideas in the world today, what you should do with your money. And I think some of the ideas I've learned at your event have made me a lot of money. And some of the people I've met at your event have actually changed my life, Mark. So that's a pretty big testimonial. And I've heard those kind of comments from quite a few famous people that they spend the entire 4 days there. And that they go out of their way to change their schedule to do it, and that the things they've learned and the people they've learned have been very important in their lives. So kudos to you, Mark. You've put one heck of an event together that's becoming legendary.
Yeah, I really thank you for that. And you know, this is the one conference, because as you know, most speakers come in, they give their speech, they sign a few books, and they leave. And we're getting case after case, like Steve Forbes spending all 3 days there. I mean, billionaires walking around, John Mackey, who is extremely busy running Whole Foods, spending all 3 days there. And we have standing room only in our film festival, the Anthem Film Festival, that my wife Joanne runs. And we have 10 debates every time. Our debates are just packed. So if people go to freedomfest.com, they'll see what it's all about. We also do a conference in the Bahamas in February, which is a lot of fun. So, I mean, we really have a lot of activities going on. We have a theme every year. Big Brother is perfect for the theme because we're being overtaxed, overregulated, and now we're being watched constantly. So it's a very dangerous world that we live in now.
And I want to thank you for inviting me. Give me the great honor of opening it every year. And this year I'll be opening it with my book coming out literally within 1 week of Freedom Fest. Freedom Fest happening, I guess you'd say. My book comes out the week after, right around July 20th. Freedom Fest this year is what, the 16th?
It's July, 8th through the 12th.
Oh, 8th through the 12th. My book comes out on the 20th.
Hollywood. So all the details are at freedomfest.com.
Very good. And my book's The Murder of the Middle Class. We'll have to work that into the theme now, won't we? So, Mark, tell me about the economy a little bit. You know, you're the economist, and you're the guy who's telling us about the new measurement of the economy. And what I see as a small businessman is a horrible economy. I mean, even in the media where they act like it's good, even they will admit in the media on CNBC and places like that that it's the most anemic recovery since the Great Depression. This is not a normal recovery. This is a horrible recovery, is it not?
Well, I don't think I agree with you on that, because I do think that there's significant recovery. You know, like you, I travel all around the world. I meet with all kinds of business people. Most business people I talk to say that their business is doing better. And I would say the small businessman does have one advantage. They are under the radar screen. You know, a lot of them can avoid the negatives of this Obamacare and stuff like that. You know, it's when you have large number of employees that you cannot avoid these problems. But if you have just a small number of employees, or if you're self-employed and so forth, you can play a lot of games and stay under the radar screen and continue to grow and so forth. Now, maybe you've had a different experience, but that's what I've seen.
Well, the people you hang out with, I mean, you write your newsletter is a financial newsletter about Wall Street, about stocks. And I think you spend your time around people who are brilliant CEOs of major public companies. And I think that the Fed has rained trillions of dollars upon them and blessed them, and that they all think things are hunky-dory, not to mention their own personal stock has gone up by millions of dollars in the last 3 years. But the people I hang out with own, you know, 2 liquor stores, 3 real estate offices, 2 gas stations, a dry cleaner. They might own 2 restaurants, a bar. I hang out with small business people, which is the economic engine of America, the job creator. And, Mark, they're dying. They're sucking wind. Every other store on every block of America, every other retail store, is out of business. I think it's a very different world, and I think the GDP or any measurement you use is measuring big business might be doing okay. Walmart's hanging in there. You know, I think that Microsoft is hanging in there. But I think the guy who owns three small real estate offices with a total of 80 brokers is dying. That's the difference in America right now.
Do you ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah. Once in a while I do. Yeah, I was the original. You know, you don't know this. A little bit of trivia. Do you know I was the first person they called to star on Shark Tank?
Kind of.
And I thought they were crazy.
Really grow. And it's amazing the success stories. Now, these are storytelling. Maybe you're right. Maybe they're not doing well. A lot of small businesses who have a creative idea and so forth are expanding and doing very well. So I think it just really depends on the situation. I mean, you're doing this whole study for your new book, and perhaps you're right. You look at all of the statistics and so forth, but I would like to think that America is still a land of prosperity, a land of opportunity, and people can start a small business and grow, and maybe you have to be very selective. In
just one business, I'm going to quote you right now. 5 years ago, which was Obama's first year in office, 2009, the business did $80,000 in online revenues in the month of November. The next year, 60. The next year, 48. The next year, 39. That was last year. And this year, $28,000. 5 years ago, $80,000 in the month of November. 5 years later, $28,000 in the month of November. Now, I've got a good friend. I have a good friend in Las Vegas who happens to be a hair replacement doctor. He deals with middle class and upper middle class people who want a hair replacement. His bill is about $10,000 to get your hair replaced. You know, basically a hair job, as they call it. And it's a very similar business to the one that I've got, because it involves consumers who've got to have $10,000. And his business has almost the exact same results as the one I'm telling you about that I own. His business used to do about $150,000 a month in business, and today it does less than $40,000 a month. Not even enough to pay him a cent. All it does is keep the lights on. And he's telling me every doctor he knows that's in his industry has the exact same results. They depend on people who are in the upper middle class that make between $100,000 and $500,000 a year. That's the kind of group I'm friends with. And they don't have money anymore. They're broke. They're dying. Inflation has wiped them out. The Obama economy's wiped them out. Obamacare's wiped them out. And there's no business anymore. If you don't own a Walmart and you own a corner store and you used to make $300,000 a year, you're probably making more like $80,000 a year, and you're sucking wind right now. So it's kind of interesting that him and I have the same type of audience with the same type of income, and we're reporting the same type of dramatic, disastrous decline in revenues from $80,000 to $28,000 for me, from him from $150,000 to about $40,000. So, I mean, that's anecdotal evidence. It's not the whole world. I'm just telling you, my friends are reporting those kind of results. The money isn't there anymore if you depend on people that are not super rich driving, flying private airplanes. If you're depending on a guy that makes, you know, used to make $250,000 a year selling something, real estate, stocks, furniture, that money isn't there anymore.
Well, I do think there are some changes that are going on. Now, one of the areas that I look in are business development companies. These are publicly traded companies that invest in private companies that need to expand and engaging in merger acquisition. These are small mom-and-pop operations. They might be a chain of jewelry stores or what have you, and their business is booming. They are loaning money. They are financing these small companies that are not publicly traded. They're private companies, and my understanding is that they're growing, and the stock is doing really well. I look at Main Street Capital as an example, Ares Capital. There's American Capital Strategies. These are all publicly traded companies that finance these small to middle class company. So I would urge you to take a look at that to make sure that you're accurately portraying what's going on in this country, because I think for every story that you're telling about negative business, there may be businesses that are doing really well and expanding. You know, accounting business is just an example. Online private education, despite all the efforts by the Obama administration to kill private online education, they still seem to be expanding.
Hey, listen, the entire week that I've been hosting Michael Savage's show, I've had the heroes of capitalism on, and I've had my friends who have invested millions of dollars in their own businesses in the last 2 years come on this show as guests, and each one of them was willing to put up millions of dollars, Mark. I think, you know, no matter what Obama does, he can never keep all entrepreneurs down. There's always going to be great people with great ideas, with great ambition, with great relentless attitudes that will just hammer away at the cherry tree like George Washington and find a way to make money. But if you ask all five of the guys I've had on the show who are millionaires, who have invested millions, including Wayne Gorsuch, who was just on, who invested in his new vitamin company, Dr. Vita, he will tell you that the regulations are just making it very difficult. I had Phil Gordon on, the greatest poker player in the world, who's been at your Freedom Fest event. And Phil Gordon said, the headwinds of opening a business have never been more difficult in the history of America. It's almost impossible to create a winner, but not impossible. I'm willing to try. I'm willing to put up $1 million, he said, but the headwinds are very, very steep, and that's what I could tell you is going on. But you'll never wipe out entrepreneurship. I mean, that's the greatness of America. There's always guys with an idea. I criticize Obama all day long, Mark, but in the end, I'm a guy who's always putting his money where his mouth is and starting businesses. So I kind of agree with you that you could still make a go of it, but boy, you better have a dynamic personality and a very unique idea and unending deep pockets, because you're going to have to work hard and spend a lot of money to overcome this economy. Hey, Mark Skousen, great to have you on. The website, again, is freedomfest.com. The event is Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, Nevada, and a big shout-out to your book, The Big Three in Economics. You can find it at Amazon, The Big Three in Economics, about the great economic geniuses of our time and the debate as who was the greatest one, from Mark Skousen. Thank you, Mark. God bless. Have a great night. Happy New Year. Everyone, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're taking a quick ad break. When I come back, I've got my last commentary of the week, the bullying, lying tyrant in the White House. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm Wayne Allyn, Savage Nation. This is War.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Wayne Allyn Root, get those for Dr. Michael Savage. As we end this show, I want to remind you, starting on January 2nd, Savage Nation moves to prime time. Beachfront property on Cumulus, afternoon drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. East Coast time, 12 noon to 3 p.m. West Coast time. Congratulations to Michael Savage. More millions than ever before will be hearing Michael. My name is Wayne Allyn Root, War, the capitalist evangelist. I'm the author of The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, one of the 10 best-selling political books of 2013. My new book, The Murder of the Middle Class, comes out in July of 2014. I've got a commentary coming out next week. I'd like to share it with you at The Blaze, the bullying, lying, spying tyrant in the White House. Happy New Year 2014. Unfortunately, happy days aren't here again. I can't lie to you. I can't make something up to pacify you during a national holiday. My New Year's gift to you is the truth. The truth is shocking and disturbing. The truth is we have a tyrant in the White House, and his level of bullying, lying, spying, distorting, manipulating, intimidating, demonizing, and using propaganda to cram his policies down our throats is unlike any president in history. An even better analogy is to compare Obama to Chicago's own Al Capone. We have an organized crime gangster living in the White House who believes the end justify the means. Let me explain the tricks of the gangster's trade and how we are being played. First, Obama uses his army of government employees to fix elections by intimidating critics and destroying his political opposition. See the Tea Parties. He sucked the life and energy and enthusiasm out of the Tea Party by sicking the IRS on them. And just to be sure he could fix the election, Obama's loyal government employee goons in the Census Bureau created fraudulent data about jobs in the weeks leading up to Election Day. Like all organized crime, the books were cooked. And I believe the fraud continues unabated right now, every month. The jobs reports coming out every month are either outright crooked, just made up out of thin air, or certainly manipulated to make it look like we have a jobs recovery. We don't. That's how gangsters and tin pot dictators stay in power, through an army of brutal enforcers doing whatever it takes to keep the boss in power. We don't have a president. We have a Tutti Di Capo. Don't forget, Obama also used the IRS to silence free speech by attacking critics like me and hundreds of others who dared to criticize him in the media. He even stooped so low as to persecute a stage 4 terminal cancer victim who criticized Obamacare on Fox News. Days later, IRS audit. But that's all child's play. This serious dictator gangster wants to know your deepest, darkest secrets so he can extort and blackmail you. Obama uses the IRS to uncover his opponent's business and tax dealings. He uses the NSA to listen to our calls, emails, and texts. He uses Obamacare to snoop into your medical and sexual history. Or didn't you know Obamacare demands that your doctor ask about your sexual history? That information is now in the hands of government. Obama understands whoever has the most information is in control. Everyone has secrets they don't want publicly exposed at the risk of losing your career, reputation, or worst of all, your wife and family. And I believe Obama and his goons are using this information to extort and blackmail his GOP opposition. I'm actually being nice here. Because if that's not what's happening, then the Republican Party is led by the biggest bunch of fools that have ever been in politics. How else can you explain John Boehner calling Obama all kinds of bad names and swearing to support small government, lower taxes, less spending, and reducing the debt, and then turning around days later and agreeing to a deal to increase spending and raise taxes and increase the debt? How else can you explain a true blue conservative patriot like Justice John Roberts of the Supreme Court standing in full throttle opposition to Obamacare, writing the majority Supreme Court opinion against Obamacare, striking it down and killing it? Or didn't you know that happened? And then suddenly walking into the Supreme Court chambers and telling his fellow justices that he's reversing course to join the other side and write a new majority opinion supporting and approving Obamacare. How else can you explain General We Never Leave Anyone Behind Petraeus, head of the CIA, standing silently by while his CIA operatives were murdered and left behind in Benghazi? Obama refused to send help, yet Petraeus never said a word. Why? Was he being blackmailed over an affair? Now we know he was having one. Did they use that information to keep him quiet and then hang him out to dry after the fact? Everyone has secrets, and I believe they're being used to convince Republican politicians to vote for bigger government. Wow. Bad stuff going on out there, folks. We have a spying, bullying, lying tyrant in the White House. I'm Wayne Allyn Root. This is War. It's been a great week on Savage Nation. My website, rootforamerica.com. My book, The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. Thank you, Michael Savage. Thank you, Cumulus Media, for giving me this wonderful platform. God bless. Happy New Year, everyone.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.